Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking at 8 o'clock, this crash in South Durham creating some big delays. I'll show you the alternate route that'll save you some time.
And our temperature in the triangle just dropped down into the mid-20s. Expect low to mid-20s as you head out the door. But I'll show you how quickly it will warm up as we get into the afternoon.
Nearly 12,000 homes without power on a very cold morning here in Durham, all due to a power outage that happened yesterday afternoon. Coming up, the restoration efforts and the new timeline for wind power will be back on.
President Biden is visiting the Triangle today. Coming up, what he's expected to discuss and how this could impact traffic in North Raleigh.
A very big day, Thursday, January 18th. A lot to tell you about here. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for spending the early part of your Thursday with us. Cold again. You know. Yeah. I felt like we were getting used to it a little bit, acclimating to it. And then
I know.
Elizabeth told me it's just not quite as cold as yesterday and no wind chill out there. But we do have a look at it. These temperatures are not sweet.
We dropped to 19 yesterday in the Triangle, so we're looking at temperatures a little bit above that. But honestly, I mean, can you tell the difference between 19 and 26? Maybe not, but you probably can tell the difference in the wind chill. Boy, that's just biting. And we were in the mid-teens yesterday with the wind chill. It's 25 in Southern Pines, 22 in Clinton, 23 Rocky Mount. It is 18 right now in Roxborough. That's as low as the temperatures are likely to go. Probably won't drop anymore at 9 o'clock. But temperatures are about 7 degrees warmer than they were this time yesterday in Durham, Raleigh, and Southern Pines, and 8 degrees warmer in South Hill. Still, I mean, we're talking about low to mid-20s. A live look at Fayetteville shows some cloud cover. Again, 26 degrees in the Triangle, and our winds are light. This afternoon, our winds may pick up a bit, maybe up to around 10 miles per hour, and that could make it feel a little colder than it actually is. So wind chill this afternoon, going to be likely in the low to mid-40s with increasing clouds. We check out Futurecast, and as we head into the afternoon, we'll see more and more cloud cover. Rain's likely to start to push in around 7 or 8 o'clock this evening, and just a small band, it moves through. And then again, after midnight, we may have some patchy light rain. But the blues and the purple color contours that would indicate anything frozen stay to our north. So it's unlikely. I mean, I guess it's not a zero chance that we wouldn't see a quick wintry mix in Roxborough or South Hill, but it will be a no impact event. Our temperatures today, mid-40s at lunchtime, will climb to around 50. But by tomorrow evening, we start to see our next Arctic blast rolling in. I'll show you how it will feel for the weekend coming up.
Just about 8:03 right now, Elizabeth, and we are following breaking news in South Durham. We still have this crash on 40 westbound just before you get to the 751 interchange. Still have that left lane block there and traffic squeezing by it. So coming out from the 885 interchange out towards 751, we're seeing some solid delays, probably about a 15-minute backup overall as you make that trip. As we take a look at the sensor readings in that area, the best alternate route that will save you the most time will probably be taking 54 out to 751. From there, you can rejoin the westbound side of I-40. Also note that we're seeing some onlooker delays there on eastbound I-40 from the 54 interchange down towards 751. All new, a report of a crash on the west side of Durham on the eastbound side of Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard or 15501 between Garrett Road and the MLK Parkway interchange there. Seeing some pretty heavy backups as you head away from the I-40 interchange right now on inbound 15501. Of course, we have the traffic signals that are out in much of East Durham because of that outage. More details about that in a second. But as far as the signals go, we have big stretches of Holloway Street, Miami Boulevard, Cheek Road, Andrew and Briggs Avenues, seeing problems with traffic signals that are either completely out or just malfunctioning. Give yourself extra time. Treat those intersections as four-way stops. Still some lingering delays coming in from Zebulon out of the Zebulon area in 64 westbound because of a crash just beyond the Green Pace Road Bridge. You can see it there in the median at the top of the screen, still measuring a four-minute delay on the sensors. If you're heading out right now, you can listen to this newscast live on the radio in the car at 99.3 FM in Raleigh and 96.5 FM in Durham. I'll have another traffic update coming up in a few minutes.
This is the exact area where the power outages are that Brian was talking about with the lights out. Thousands of folks in Durham are waking up without power, without heat this morning if they could fall asleep in the cold temperatures. Earlier today, we learned that the Durham Public School System said that 7 elementary schools right in this area are closed because of this outage. The current outage map right here shows where Duke Energy is working. Brett Neese is in the WRL Breaking News Tracker with an update on how those crews are trying to get this mess fixed. This power outage caused nearly 12,000 homes to lose heat
on a very cold night. Because of that, Durham opened up a warming center here at the Health and Human Services building downtown. Take a look at video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker showing you what some of the restoration efforts look like. Duke Energy crews have been working all night. Over 17 hours of work have gone into trying to get power back online. Officials tell me once those crews initially got in there, they found that there was more work to be done.
There was a lot of damage done when this incident occurred. There were a lot of underground equipment that was damaged that had to be very manually repaired. And so that work is taking a little longer than we thought. And as crews got in there to do the repairs late last night, as they were finishing them up, they found additional damage that complicated the outage and extended the time it's taking to restore.
Now the goal is to have power back on by about 9 a.m. I'm going to continue to check that outage map and keep you updated. In Durham, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
And more breaking news. Three people are in the hospital this morning after a house fire in Fayetteville. Fire crews responded to the home on Christina Street just before 11:30 last night. When they got there, they saw heavy smoke coming from that home. Firefighters were able to rescue four people from the second-story windows. Three of those people were injured and taken to a hospital. Two had to be airlifted. We are working to learn how serious their injuries are.
Some parents in Durham will have to find another way to get their kids to school today as dozens of bus drivers walked off the job. The problem stems from a salary dispute, and more than 50 bus drivers didn't show up to work yesterday. Even more are expected to be out today. We spoke with a bus driver who is not striking but does understand the frustration others are feeling.
They were given raises and bonuses that are being taken back because they said they were overpaid or their raises were too high.
The district superintendent says leaders are working to solve this problem. Parents are asked to pick up their children and drop off their kids also until the whole driver shortage is resolved.
President Biden is getting ready for his visit to Raleigh later today. WRAL has learned he'll be speaking at Abbots Creek Community Center in Raleigh. That will cause a lot of traffic congestion along some major roads later today. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey explains what we can expect.
The economy will be the main focus of President Biden's visit today. He'll also talk about bringing more broadband internet to North Carolina. Hundreds of people are expected to come here to Abbots Creek Community Center to hear him speak, so that's really going to impact traffic. Parts of Durant and Falls of Neuse Road will be closed for the event between 1 and 5:30 today. Wake County Schools has already sent out a notice to parents. Some schools in the area may have a delayed dismissal because of that. Sky 5 flew over Abbots Creek Community Center yesterday. Today marks Biden's first time coming to North Carolina this election season. Meredith College political science professor David McLennan says we'll likely see the president here a lot more. He says North Carolina will be a closely divided state this election. McLennan says the president will discuss economic progress.
Even though the president is talking about the progress, people are feeling it. Inflation, for example, the inflation rate has come down, but prices still seem to be high for most Americans.
You can watch our team coverage of President Biden's visit on air and online at WRAL.com. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
And on that topic, if there's a rematch between Biden and former President Donald Trump, North Carolina will be a critical state. Trump is the Republican frontrunner. He won the state narrowly in 2020, just as he did in 2016. Republicans in the state are confident he or whoever wins the GOP nomination can do it again.
It's a state that they have tried very hard to flip over the last several years, and they're not going to be able to do it again this cycle because, again, our voters understand that Republicans care about the issues that they care about.
And the WRAL NC Capitol team will have full coverage of President Biden's visit today. Laura Leslie and Matt Tallhelm will have reports on our later newscasts. This morning, search and rescue operations continue to find two U.S. Navy SEALs who disappeared at sea in Somalia last week. During a news briefing yesterday, Pentagon spokesman General Pat Ryder says they hope to recover those two sailors. We know the two disappeared during a flag verification operation. Those sailors were boarding a vessel when one fell into the water. The second jumped in after them, according to protocol.
In Durham today, a judge will decide whether or not to take the case of a speeding drunk driver who hit and killed a Duke employee in 2021. Daniel Watts was riding in a Lyft when his car was hit by a man authorities say was going 143 miles per hour with a blood alcohol level nearly twice the legal limit. More than 2 years later, that driver is still waiting for a judge to take his case. Two judges have refused to accept a plea deal offered by prosecutors, which would reduce the charge to felony death by vehicle, down from a second-degree murder charge. Recent inspections uncover faulty parts in other 737 jets after that mid-air emergency caused a plane to land shortly after takeoff. Coming up, why one major airline is stepping in to ensure the quality of products that are coming from Boeing.
And he spent 6 days trapped in his truck, and then a pair of fishermen stumbled upon him and got him the help he needed to survive. Just ahead, heartwarming reunion after taking some time to recover.
It's a cold start with temperatures in the mid-20s, but we'll warm up to 50 today and 52 tomorrow. A little light rain overnight, and then an Arctic blast arrives again over the weekend. I'll show you what it will feel like with the wind chills. <sighs> 8:13. And yes, it is the famous Fountain Mountain. We really didn't see it last year. But of course, over the last 24 to 48 hours, our temperatures have dropped enough that we have the ice that's formed on our fountain. This is a decades long tradition that we have here at WREL. It may melt a little bit in the next couple of days as highs climb up to around 50 degrees. But over the weekend, we're in for another Arctic blast, and that Fountain Mountain is likely to stick around at least into early next week. We have some rain in the forecast for this evening and overnight. Most of the area are going to be above freezing. We're going to be watching for maybe a quick little burst of some wintry mix in our northern counties. But the later runs of the computer models in the last 24 hours have really not shown any of that. So our chances are pretty minimal. Now, there is snow with this as it's continuing to move across parts of the Midwest, and the mountains of North Carolina may get some significant snow. But for us, the temperatures are just going to be too warm. We'll walk through the temperatures with the precipitation as we head through the afternoon. First off, we'll see increasing clouds, temperatures close to 50 for highs this afternoon. As we get into the evening, we start to see some showers roll through. By the time the rain arrives in Roxborough, it'll be 39 degrees there, and you can watch that band of rain moving through it. We'll pause it here, looking at temperatures in the mid to upper 30s, but even Roxborough sits there at 33. We do have another round of rain that'll move through, but temperatures don't drop anywhere except Roxborough to 32, and that only happens after the precipitation is out of there. So this is not going to be much of an event for us in terms of anything wintry, but the American model has some significant snowfall in the mountains of North Carolina, and so does the European model. The European model shows just this tiny little hint of some blue there near the Virginia line, but again, the potential there is minimal. We do have a good chance of another Arctic blast, though. It's just that the precipitation and the temperatures are not going to line up, and I think that's almost always our problem, isn't it? We're going to see some light rain very early before sunrise on Friday morning. Otherwise, looking at 52 degrees during the afternoon Friday, 35 Saturday, and 41 Sunday, so a big drop this weekend. In terms of the wind chill, Saturday morning it could feel like 11 degrees, and Sunday morning it could feel like 8 degrees. So that's likely to be even colder feeling than it was yesterday morning. Again, really chilly for us over the weekend, but very quickly our temperatures rebound back to 50, which is close to normal on Monday, and then nearly 60 Tuesday. Tuesday's probably going to be the choice day of the week to get outside. By Wednesday, it's warmer, but likely to be wetter too. Brian?
8:16, let's update you about some of these delays we're following. First of all, on the south side of Durham on 40 westbound. That crash still blocking the left lane there just before you get to the 751 interchange. A lot of traffic getting squeezed into those center and right lanes. Delays begin around 55 and extend through the Fayetteville Road interchange out to 751. If you can pick up 751 and then head down to 40 westbound, you'll be on the other side of those backups. Also, we're seeing a little bit of an onlooker delay on 40 eastbound, beginning around 54, extending through the 751 interchange. So give yourself that extra time this morning there on the south side of Durham. Still tracking this crash on the eastbound side of Durham, Chapel Hill Boulevard, or 15501, just beyond Garrett Road. It looks like they've made a lot of progress getting this cleared in the past few minutes. The delays now begin just beyond the I-40 interchange, and by the time you get to Garrett Road, it clears up pretty nicely, heading out toward the MLK Parkway interchange. Going to head out to Zebulon for an update on that crash on 64 westbound, just beyond the Green Pace Road Bridge. A little activity still in the median there, but looking a lot better with just a two-minute 10-minute delay showing up right now on sensors. Taking a look around the rest of the triangle, a couple other minor crashes. Not really seeing any unusual delays for this point in the morning commute. Just the usual backups there on I-40 in both directions between Raleigh and Durham. A reminder that with President Biden's visit later this afternoon, we will see some intermittent road closures along Durant Road and Falls of Neuse Road. Also other major roads there on the north side of Raleigh between 1 in the afternoon and 5:30 p.m. Just keep that in mind if you have any travel plans on the north side of Raleigh today.
All right, thanks, Brian. The FAA says it's completed inspections on some of Boeing 737 MAX 9 planes nearly 2 weeks after a door plug flew off midair. Marianne Rafferty has more on the latest briefing for congressional lawmakers. Nearly 2 weeks after a door plug blew out midair on an Alaska Airlines flight, the Federal Aviation Administration says it has completed preliminary inspections on a group of Boeing 737 MAX 9 planes. The agency says it will review the data and determine whether or not the aircraft should remain grounded. The FAA saying in a statement, quote, "The safety of the flying public, not speed, will determine the timeline for returning these aircraft to service."
This is why we have the party process, where everybody has the information in real time as we are identifying any potential anything that they have to be aware of and can take care of immediately.
The chair of the National Transportation Safety Board appeared for a closed-door briefing with the Senate Commerce Committee on Wednesday. She says the group is investigating the door plug's entire production journey, as well as what caused it to detach.
Was there an overpressure event inside the aircraft? Was there any sort of structural flexing of the aircraft itself at any point that may have had an impact on the plug itself?
And the trouble continued for Boeing on Wednesday. Secretary of State Antony Blinken was forced to change planes after boarding a modified Boeing 737 jet in Zurich. The State Department says it was due to a mechanical issue. And that was Marianne Rafferty reporting. In a meeting last week, Boeing CEO promised transparency and said the company will cooperate with all investigations.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, a new video into our newsroom of U.S. military personnel joining the relief efforts after that devastating earthquake in Ishikawa, one of the hardest hit areas from that New Year's Day earthquake. 30 U.S. Military members are delivering boxes of humanitarian aid, such as food, diapers, and formula to the area. Now, this isn't the first time that the U.S. military has given Japan an assist when it came to a natural disaster. Back in 2011, the U.S. military forces were all there when an earthquake hit the eastern part of Japan. Now, the death toll from this current earthquake that happened on New Year's Day along the peninsula there in Japan is more than 200 people. 21 people remain unaccounted for so far. We'll continue to monitor this story for any new updates.
Thanks, Ken. An Indiana man rescued from his truck after 6 days has met the folks who found him. Here's the scene from under that bridge of I-94 in the western part of Indiana. State police say this guy swerved on the interstate bridge to avoid hitting a deer. A couple of fishermen discovered him 6 days later, and we're hearing from him as he reunited with the people who rescued him.
The 6 days I was down there were longest, scariest, most terrifying days of my life, because that day I had given up hope. And, you know, that morning I had, and I think I handed you my notebook, but that notebook had my obituary.
Matt Room right there. He had to have one of his legs amputated. He wrote his own obituary. He's now in rehab, and his rescuers say he survived by filtering rainwater from a drain pipe and used an airbag as a blanket.
Incredible, yeah, that he is okay. My goodness. A hunter was reunited with his dog following a daring rescue near Reno, Nevada over the weekend. The man called for help when his dog got trapped on a steep, jagged rock face. A rescue team jumped into action, scaling the rocks, then lowering the hunter and his dog to safety. In a Facebook post, the sheriff's office said the hunter was wise to call for help rather than just risking doing it alone.
Electric vehicles are having a hard time in the cold. They can't travel as far. They don't hold a charge as well. But industry experts are working on ways to fix that. An NC State engineering professor says there's no single solution to this. He says companies could create jackets or covers to keep the batteries from getting cold. Another option, he says, is to charge the chemical makeup and change it as well, the makeup of those batteries themselves. One Raleigh driver says his battery quickly drained overnight.
All summer it was great, but it's starting to get cold now, so it'll... You notice it overnight, it drops faster with the cold, and the charge doesn't hold as well.
Yeah, the NC State professor says he knows industry professionals are working on ways to fix the problem. Just might take some time.
Today, students, staff, and faculty at East Carolina University will jump into ice-cold water for their 28th annual Polar Bear Plunge. ECU Campus Rec and Wellness posted these pictures on its Instagram page to drum up hype for this event. It kicks off tonight at 6 o'clock at the Student Recreation Center. People brave enough to participate will plunge into the outdoor pool. The first 1,000 people to jump in will receive a free T-shirt designed specifically for the event. Jeff, you're no stranger to these polar plunges.
I could do it. I would do it. I'm not scared. I would jump in.
I would.
Oh. Scientists will soon have a new tool to help detect skin cancer, a handheld device using AI to assist.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Thursday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Chilly morning out there, but we're going to start with traffic. Meteorologist Brian Schrader tracking backups on I-40 in Durham. Brian.
There on the westbound side, we have a crash blocking the left lane just before you get to 751. You can see there's a tow truck out there, so this should get cleared fairly quickly. But we're still seeing some heavy delays as you head away from 55 through the Fayetteville Road interchange back towards 751. If you can pick up 40 westbound from 751, you'll be on the other side of all that. Also coming in from Chapel Hill, keep in mind we have some onlooker delays on eastbound I-40. Looks like that earlier crash on 15501 near Garrett Road is cleared almost completely. Taking a look in Raleigh, we're watching reports of a crash on I-40 somewhere between Wade Avenue and Harrison Avenue, working to get some details about exactly where that is.
It looks pretty out there right now, but it is cold. Temperatures have been in the low to mid 20s for the most part this morning. That sunshine will start to gradually warm things up, and it should feel more comfortable this afternoon than it did yesterday. But it's 21 in Lewisburg, 25 in Southern Pines, 24 in Fayetteville, 27 South Hill, 23 in Rocky Mount. So it's cold out there. Your dog friends may be happy in their sweaters. But again, this afternoon, our high temperature climbs up to around 50. We'll see some scattered showers overnight, but it looks like it'll just be rain.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. President Biden will be in the Triangle today discussing the state of the economy and his plans for the future. Heavy traffic is expected around the Abbott Creek Community Center in Raleigh. Dismissal is likely to be delayed at several schools nearby as well. And next on Fox 50, difficulties for parents in Durham after dozens of bus drivers walk off the job. And next on Today, why hair bows are trending for adults.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Breaking news in South Durham. We're still following a crash on 40 westbound. I'll show you how bad the delays are and how to get around them.
And it's another cold start, but we don't have the wind chill to deal with that we did yesterday. And I'll show you why this afternoon may be a bit more comfortable than what we felt yesterday.
And thousands of people in Durham are still without heat from yesterday's substation repair issues. Coming up, an update about the damage crews found and why it's taking longer than expected.
President Biden is on his way to the capital city to talk about new investments and his plans for the future. We'll tell you about the traffic issues you can expect in North Raleigh and everything else that his visit will include. Talk of the economy as well. Thanks for staying with us here at 8:30. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Still so many people in Durham without power this morning.
Yeah.
And it is so cold, making for some dangerous situations. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner here showing us just how cold it is there in the 20s.
Yeah, solidly in the 20s. Low to mid 20s. It's even 18 right now in Roxborough. But this is about as cold as it's going to get to all day. We'll see temperatures climbing up to around 50 later this afternoon. We actually have some rain on the way this evening, and we'll walk through Futurecast in just a second. 25 Southern Pines, 22 in Clinton, 26, Goldsboro 23, and Rocky Mount 26 in Durham and 18 in Roxboro. So it's cold out there. Yesterday we had a wind chill. We haven't seen the winds blowing much this morning, so no wind chill to deal with. Our temperatures between Southern Pines, Raleigh, Durham, and South Hill are 7 to 9 degrees warmer than this time yesterday, and we'll see that reflected this afternoon as well. A little bit of cloud cover out there here in downtown Fayetteville. We'll see more cloud cover as we get closer to lunchtime and into the afternoon as we see that next system approaching. Right now, 26 degrees around parts of the viewing area. This afternoon, winds may be climbing up to around 10 miles per hour. And if so, we're going to see the wind chill as much as 44. So a little bit colder than it will be in terms of the actual temperature. Futurecast showing more cloud cover as we get into the afternoon. And this band of rain, which is likely to just be rain moving through the area between, say, 7 and 8 o'clock. There's definitely some wintry precipitation back into the mountains or to our north, but it's unlikely that any part of our viewing area will see it. The rain is out of here by the time we get to the morning commute. Hour by hour, our forecast this afternoon, feeling more comfortable than yesterday, a little bit breezy, but we'll see a high temperature around 50. Tomorrow, near 50, but then we get into the weekend and we take a big plunge again with another Arctic outbreak. I'll show you the wind chills that'll go along with it. Coming up, Brian.
Here at 8:32, Elizabeth, we're still tracking this crash in the south part of Durham on 40 westbound just before the 751 interchange. We still have that left lane blocked out there. There is a tow truck at the scene. Hopefully this will get cleared up fairly quickly, but we're still seeing some big delays there. According to sensors, the backups on 40 westbound began around the 55 interchange through Fayetteville Road. Once you get to 751, though, it all clears up. So if you can pick up 40 westbound from 751, you're in good shape heading out toward 54 and 15501. Also still tracking that little onlooker delay there on 40 eastbound between 54 and the 751 interchange. If you're trying to pick up 40 eastbound, get to Fayetteville Road, pick it up from there, and you'll be on the other side of that. With that power outage in East Durham, we have signals out through a wide part of the city east of downtown, including big sections of Holloway Street, Miami Boulevard. You can see some big delays showing up there on Miami Boulevard in both directions around the Sharon Road intersection. Don't forget to give yourself some extra time to account for some of the delays that may build at those intersections and then treat those as four-way stops. Looking around the rest of the triangle, that earlier report of an incident out on 40 westbound around Wade Avenue appears to have been some sort of a road hazard. We are getting reports of a crash, though, on 40 westbound right around Carytown Boulevard. Not seeing too much of a delay as you head away from the US 1440 interchange.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Thousands of people in Durham still without heat or power this morning. Earlier this morning, we learned from Durham Public Schools that 7 elementary schools are closed because of this outage. Take a look at this current outage map from Duke Energy right now. About 9,000 people without power. Brett Neese was in the WRL Breaking News Tracker in Durham with an update on the damage and what's causing the delay.
This power outage caused nearly 12,000 homes to lose heat on a very cold night. Because of that, Durham opened up a warming center here at the Health and Human Services building downtown. Take a look at video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker showing you what some of the restoration efforts look like. Duke Energy crews have been working all night. Over 17 hours of work have gone into trying to get power back online. Officials tell me once those crews initially got in there, they found that there was more work to be done.
There was a lot of damage done when this incident occurred. There were a lot of underground equipment that was damaged that had to be very manually repaired. And so that work is taking a little longer than we thought. And as crews got in there to do the repairs late last night, as they were finishing them up, they found additional damage that complicated the outage and extended the time it's taking to restore.
Now the goal is to have power back on by about 9 a.m. I'm going to continue to check that outage map and keep you updated. In Durham, Brett Neese, WRL News.
Breaking news this morning. Three people are in the hospital after a house fire in Fayetteville. Fire crews responded to this home on Christina Street just before 11:30 last night. When they got there, they saw heavy smoke coming out of that home. Firefighters were able to rescue four people from the second-story windows there. Three of them, though, were injured and had to be taken to the hospital. Two were airlifted. We're still working to learn how serious their injuries are, and an investigation into what caused the fire is underway.
Parents in Durham are working to get their kids to school today, those schools that are open anyway, as dozens of bus drivers are staying home for a second day in a row. The problem stems from a salary dispute. More than 50 bus drivers did not show up to work yesterday, and more are expected to be out today. The district superintendent says leaders are working to solve the problem. Parents are being asked to pick up and drop off students until the shortage is resolved.
Today, President Joe Biden visits the Triangle, and that'll cause some traffic congestion along some major roads in North Raleigh. WRO's Kelsey Coffey was at Abbotts Creek Community Center with what we expect to hear from the president's speech.
President Biden's visit today. He'll also talk about bringing more broadband internet to North Carolina. Hundreds of people are expected to come here to Abbotts Creek Community Center to hear him speak, so that's really going to impact traffic. Parts of Durant and Falls of Neuse Road will be closed for the event between 1 and 5:30 today. Wake County Schools has already sent out a notice to parents. Some schools in the area may have a delayed dismissal because of that. Sky 5 flew over Abbotts Creek Community Center yesterday. Today marks Biden's first time coming to North Carolina this election season. Meredith College political science professor David McLennan says we'll likely see the president here a lot more. He says North Carolina will be a closely divided state this election. McLennan says the president will discuss economic progress.
Even though the president is talking about the progress, people are feeling it. Inflation, for example, the inflation rate has come down, but prices still seem to be high for most Americans.
You can watch our team coverage of President Biden's visit on air and online at WRAL.com. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
And that'll include the WRAL NC Capital team with full coverage of President Biden's visit today. Laura Leslie and Matt Tallhelm will have reports in our later newscasts. With breaking news this morning, more tension in the Middle East as Pakistan has launched airstrikes on targets in Iran. Iranian state media reports 7 people were killed, 3 women and 4 children. Pakistan says the strikes were on terror targets. This strike comes a day after Iran launched a strike on Sunni militants inside Pakistan. 2 children died there. Pakistan strongly condemned the strike, calling it an unprovoked violation of its airspace.
Families of Americans believed to have been taken hostage by Hamas will meet with U.S. national security leaders today. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan plans to speak with them. The U.S. believes 6 Americans remain in captivity in Gaza, among them Chapel Hill native Keith Siegel. Police in Moore County are working to make an arrest after a shooting outside an Aberdeen grocery store. Officers responded to this food lion on NC Highway 5 just after 8 o'clock last night. Police say a person was sitting in a car in the parking lot when another person came up to the car and started shooting. Both the shooter and the victim left the scene before police got there. Officers found about 15 shell casings on the ground. Nobody else was hurt.
Family and friends of Darrell Williams continue to call for justice. They gathered last night for a vigil and this balloon release 1 year after Williams died during a scuffle with police officers in Raleigh. Body camera video from January 17, 2023 shows Williams tried to run from police. He was shocked 3 times with a taser and then includes twice after he could be heard telling officers he had a heart condition. Officers say they suspected Williams had alcohol and marijuana in his car and they asked to search it. The Wake County DA's office chose not to file charges against the officers.
It don't take no 6 officers to take down 1 man. I mean, I think that was wrong.
We're told the family is considering legal action. We reached out to Raleigh police to find out the status of the 6 officers who were placed on administrative leave. We're still waiting to hear back from them.
We're hearing from the wife of a man who was found shot to death in Fayetteville last Thursday night. 32-year-old Jonathan Connell was found when Fayetteville police responded to a shots fired call. Police were called to Tamarack Drive, not far from the Circle K off Rose Hill Road. Michaela Connell, Jonathan's wife, says she knew something was wrong when her husband was not answering his phone that day when he would normally pick her up from work. A funeral will come next, but because of expenses, the family started a GoFundMe page. All of this taking a huge toll on Michaela.
I'm just mentally not strong enough right now to even want to focus on that. I'm more so finding myself consumed. I just want to know who did it.
And we've reached out to Fayetteville police to see if there's an update in the investigation. We did not hear back.
There's a new method to help your children regulate their emotions. Up next, why teaching your children about mindfulness could help ease anxiety and stress.
Plus, detecting a certain type of cancer will soon be in the palm of your doctor's hands. Coming up, the new handheld device that's helping doctors diagnose skin cancer faster than ever.